The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Korea 360 on Money FM 89.3, where we look at the manpower sector here in Singapore. Also, your career and lifelong learning. Now, how effective is being mindful at advancing your career? What does it actually mean and entail? Erin Lee is a mindfulness coach who advocates mindfulness practice on personal and professional levels. But is it just about hugging trees and contemplating the meaning of life? Or can mindfulness actually help you focus and achieve your career goals? Founder and mindfulness coach, once again, Erin Lee from Mindful Moments Singapore joins us today. Erin, good morning.
Good morning, Howie.
Let's start with misconceptions. I think I might have mentioned a few of what mindfulness is. It's not religious. It's maybe talk us through a few of them that have come up in your work, what people have misunderstood it to mean.
Sure. So first of all, mindfulness is not a religion or a faith. It's very often misunderstood as something spiritual. And even though it can be traced back to some Eastern religions or traditions, but in today's context, it is actually taught as a form of awareness training. And it's practiced in an entirely secular context. It's supported by quite a lot of scientific research. And so people from all backgrounds and all walks of life are able to practice mindfulness, to learn it as a life skill so that we can change our relationship to the stress and the difficulties in our lives.
A quick check around the office a couple of days ago, I asked them what people thought mindfulness might be. Some say, oh, like daydreaming, is it?
Okay.
Is that something that comes up too?
No, it's not daydreaming. Daydreaming has involves a lot of mind wandering. So actually, mindfulness has an element of focus and anchoring your attention to something in the present moment. So it could be anchoring your attention to whatever that you're doing now. For example, if you're handling a task, if you're drinking a coffee, so you're aware that you're actually drinking the coffee instead of thinking about your work later, what the endless checklist that you haven't done, things like that.
Also, meditation came up a lot too. Some of my colleagues said, is it like meditation? And it's not though?
A lot of people tend to equate mindfulness with meditation. And how I like to explain it is it can be seen as a kind of meditation. So there are actually many different kinds of meditations out there. Some kinds require you to visualize, some sort of imagery. Some kinds of meditation require a chanting of a mantra. So if you're talking about mindfulness meditation, it can be seen as a kind of it where it's purely a form of moment-to-moment awareness.
So help us out. What would be the definition of mindfulness then? I've heard a few things that you just said. There's a measure of awareness training, being aware of, I assume, your environment, whatever it is you're doing, being in the moment, so to speak. So give us the actual definition.
There are actually many definitions of mindfulness out there. So how how I like to explain it, it's actually a practice, and it's a practice of being aware of your present moment. So it involves being able to observe both the external and the internal environment. So external environments means if you are communicating with somebody, you'll be present with that person, with things that he or she is saying. Internal environment would be, for example, any reactions that come up in you. You would be aware of any thoughts that arise in the mind, any emotions that come up in you. What are some changes in the body from one moment at a time, just noticing what happens in the internal environment.
That sounds like a lot of things to sort of be aware of.
Yes.
Say if you're having a conversation, you and I are now having this conversation, Erin, and I have to be thinking about, is my heart rate going up, for example, as a response physiologically? What am I thinking about what you're saying?
Yes.
Why do we need to, you know, sort of be aware of so many of these things? I mean, day-to-day life is sort of busy and hectic enough.
Well, that's the problem with a hectic life, because we're just going through day by day, endless tasks to do, one task after the other, and we're sort of just not noticing how we're reacting or responding to these things around here. So, take me, as I'm sitting here doing this interview with you, besides being aware of what you're saying to me and your response to me, I have to be aware of my internal environment. So what comes up in me? Am I feeling stressed? Am I feeling nervous? Is there some sort of anxiety? I would have to be aware of it as well at the same time as I'm processing this experience.
Should we do anything about the awareness thereafter?
This is a common question. Whenever we notice something, there's always an inclination to want to do something about it. And we want to control it. We want to handle it. But what I usually tell people is before you even think about doing something about it, it's good to learn to rest with it. So this comes with a lot of it's not just about awareness, but it's also about observation, right? So, for example, if let's say you're in the office and a coworker says something really nasty about you, and it sort of annoyed you, and you would notice a lot of negative thoughts coming up in reaction, in response to what he or she said to you. So this is when, if we were not mindful about it, we would probably say something back, or a quarrel would start. I'll be reacting quite unconstructively to the situation.
Reacting instead of responding.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So this is when we would learn to turn our attention inwards to observe, oh, what are some negative thoughts that are arising right now? And I learn to rest with it. So when I anchor my attention right now to the present internal environment, and this is where I can better regulate myself. And when I'm able to better regulate myself because of this self-awareness, I would be able to respond more effectively or more wisely to that person.
Okay. Mm. It sounds like if one has this practice going on, then it helps in terms of, let's not say something we might regret later, or
yes,
box the person in the face as
absolutely
a reaction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, how does this practice, if done effectively, look like? As I'm leading to how it might help you in your career, in
right.
one's career.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. So because we live in a highly stressful environment, especially in Singapore, our work is not just fast-paced, but there are so many changes happening all the time. And so this requires us, of course, to be a lot more adaptive and resilient to the many difficult experiences that we face. So people with a greater awareness of themselves, they're more mindful of their inner states, their emotions and their thoughts, they would be able to use these skills to recover more quickly from stressful or negative states of mind. And because we're able to regulate our emotions and also our behaviors, we can respond more constructively towards the difficult people we work with, for example. And this can allow us to have better job performances, enhance our work relationships, so on and so forth.
Can people be born with it?
I think we all have the capacity to be mindful, to be mindfully aware, but we have lost it. And a lot of times it's due to the external environment that we're in. So a lot of times our attention nowadays, it's projected outwards too much. So, for example, we're glued to our phones all the time. We're always looking out for everything outside of us that stimulates our attention. But we forget to just sort of turn the attention inwards to look inside ourselves to notice what is happening.
At the risk of sounding like it's an excuse always, I mean, life is hectic,
yes,
right? There may not be a lot of time for navel gazing, Erin.
Right, yes. So this is when mindfulness comes in, because it's really unique in the sense that it's not just about setting aside, let's say, 30 minutes of every day to do mindfulness meditation and sitting there and watching your breath. But as and when we're going about our day-to-day lives, wherever we are, whatever that we're doing, we can practice mindfulness. So when you're talking to the other person, when you're having a breakfast in the morning, when you're giving a presentation to a client at the workplace, when you're driving, when you're crossing the road, anything that you're doing, you're able to practice mindful awareness without actually stopping what you're doing. Of course, it's hard to say, oh, you know, I'm living such a hectic lifestyle and I can still be mindful at the same time. So there has to be some sort of balance. We have to, first of all, recognize that we are living a hectic life, and this is affecting our well-being, our health, our states of mind in a way. So without risking having to stop whatever that we're doing, it's good to first understand that we can still be mindful as we're going about our day-to-day routines.
Mm. So what does, set practice look like of mindfulness, if you will? And how quickly can one see results? What would those results look like?
Right. If you're looking at what a practice might look like in day-to-day life without stopping to actually practice, so let's take you're having your morning coffee, for example. So how would you practice mindfulness? Mindfulness is really being aware of what is present. So if we were not mindful, we would be drinking coffee and we're also thinking about all the stressful things in our head at the same time, or we would be ruminating about how the presentation didn't go well this morning, right? So if you were to be present with the coffee, then you might use the coffee as your anchor to pay attention to it at this moment.
But Erin, some might feel that's an inefficient use of time. A lot of the times we take the morning coffee and be reading the paper at the same time.
Right.
You are saying that might not be the best idea.
So we, of course, we have to recognize what stresses us out in the first place. And this requires us to have a lot of understanding of how the mind works. So a present moment doesn't mean that we can't be thinking, we can't be planning ahead, we can't be reflecting back on the past. But we have to know when it's getting too much for us. So there are some people who tend to overthink a lot, worrying excessively about tasks that they haven't done yet, about an upcoming presentation. So when this happens, it can create a lot of anxiety in us, for example. And this is when we turn our attention inwards, we'll be able to recognize, oh, I'm starting to get anxious. And this is when maybe I should bring my attention back to the present moment and just pay attention to what I'm doing now. And after I'm done with this task, I can continue thinking or planning about what to do later.
Give us a few examples, though, Erin, in your work as a mindfulness coach at Mindful Moments Singapore, how it's helped some people and what it looked like.
Yes. So I've had participants take the 8-week MBSR course that stands for Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. So by learning mindfulness, they're actually learning to respond differently to the stresses that they face with in the workplace.
Also, so it doesn't eliminate stress per se. It's just how you're going to react or respond to it.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Right. So we can't take away stress, but we can change our relationship to that, right? So, for example, there's this project manager who works in the IT sector, and his job actually involves working with a lot of internal, external stakeholders, dealing with conflicts every day, tough situations, tough demands. Oy. So when facing with challenging situations, mindfulness did actually help him to be aware of his emotions, his bodily sensations every time the stress comes. So instead of going into overthinking about what the client wants, what the client demands, he's actually able to take a pause just before the stress hits or goes overboard, and he's able to draw his attention back to the breath in the present moment, just to sort of calm himself down a little bit to regulate himself before deciding how to respond.
So aware to the point you can feel the tidal wave approaching.
Absolutely.
And maybe sort of
before it drowns
off.
You, before it starts to drown you, you're actually aware of it and you can self-regulate.
And you are seeing more businesses recognizing that mindfulness might really help toward their employees' well-being.
Yes, yes. I see that businesses, organizations, they've been showing increasing interest in this topic and how it might be applied in the work setting. So I think we're all getting more informed about what mindfulness is and how it can be applied to different levels of employees. And because of all the robust research that's being done, I do see more and more businesses looking to offer this training to the employees because they understand how it impacts positively the employees' well-being and consequently how it might have a positive change to their work performance and consequently to the company's sustainability.
Was it challenging though at the beginning when you started Mindful Moments Singapore to get buy-in, to get people to understand that this isn't a religious thing that we talked about earlier,
right?
It isn't meditation per se, it is something that can actually help in the work environment.
So when I approach businesses or when businesses approach me, I think they would already have a fundamental understanding of the fact that mindfulness is can be practiced in the secular setting. But one of the bigger challenges that I face is trying to get businesses to invest in a longer term training program. So a lot of
just beyond 8 weeks or some short couple
actually,
of months.
Actually, they only want a one-off session.
Which is quite
a problem because we really want consistent practice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is something that needs consistent, like a muscle.
Okay. It's like you're practicing a muscle. So the more you practice, the stronger it becomes.
And if you stop, the muscle will
then
atrophy as well.
Then you may lose the skill. Yes.
Right. Okay. So how's it been going so far? It sounds like it's a happy problem. You're fending off people who've come to you who need help.
I'm not exactly fending off people. But I do see that responses have been encouraging for me and businesses are being receptive, and it's generally very positive.
So expansion plans at Mindful Moments Singapore might need some help.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm open to working with different industries, and I really hope to be able to eventually support an organization in integrating mindfulness sort of as a lifelong culture in the workplace rather than a touch-and-go introduction to mindfulness kind of thing. So that people from all walks of life, from ground-level employees to the C-suite, they're able to practice mindfulness collectively, individually, in the company, and as a life skill so that it can be transferred to whichever workplace that they go to.
Very quickly though, Erin, what can people do right off the bat, maybe say when I'm done with work, to try and be more mindful and aware of what's happening?
Right. So mindfulness is actually not a quick fix. So we don't actually give quick tips on, oh, you can do this to be mindful. So, it still requires consistency in practice, but I do have something that I can recommend for you to try. So if you're going for your next coffee after listening to this interview, or if you were brushing your teeth at night, then you could use your five senses to just be aware of the brushing of the teeth. So, for example, instead of thinking about work the next day, things that you haven't done, you can actually pay attention to the way that the toothbrush feels on the teeth, on the gums, the taste of the toothpaste, things like that. So you're really being present with whatever that you're doing at this moment. So this is a really simple, fundamental practice.
Oh, rats. No more daydreaming for me. Erin Lee, founder, mindfulness coach at Mindful Moments Singapore. Erin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.